Welcome to Story Comic Presents, where we interview amazing storytellers and artists. This is episode 355. I'm your host, Barney Smith of StoryComic.com. We're excited to have with us, back in the studio, the internationally acclaimed writer of comics, Jeff Haas. Jeff, how's it going?
Doing well. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, see you back. So technically, this is going to be like your fourth time on, because you're on last year promoting End of All Terminus, which is now on us as a Kickstarter as of this recording, and you've already reached your goal, so congratulations on
that.
And you've been on a couple times because you're also part of our podcast crew roundtable, where we meet quarterly.
Yeah,
we all kind of like rotate through everybody's shows. You, Jeff, are in charge of the winter roundtable. I'm in charge of the spring roundtable, and then we have a couple of our other ones. We have Kurt Sasso, and then Cody Lynch as well. That's on there, and it's been great, you know, as we sit around and chat. But End of All Terminus. This is your sequel.
Yep.
To the first one that you came out with, and. And as we mentioned, it's already funded, so that's amazing. And do you want to talk to us a little bit about what End of All is all about?
All right, The End of All Terminus is a sci-fi action comic book. Lovers of Star Trek, lovers of Aliens will really enjoy these first two issues. Basically what it is the last sometime in the distant future, the last seven sentient species in the universe board a ship called the Terminus. The goal is to escape the universe because the universe is dying. It's being ripped apart by some unknown force of nature called the Great Rip. And they're trying to escape out of our universe to whatever exists outside our universe. So with the basic idea is that the universe has a boundary, or at least it's perceived to have a boundary. And the idea is what exists beyond the universe, and that's where they're headed to. So they're trying to break through the boundary of the universe to escape its death, to see what's outside it. And there is a story for what's outside it, but right now it's whether or not these seven species can live together in harmony aboard this ship. Because each species, for different reasons, thinks that there's the species that matters. They're the ones that are perfect. Those are the ones that should survive. And the question is, can they keep from killing each other long enough to save themselves?
Oh, wow. Okay. And I love some of these, because you have some characters that like also is like, sort of nature based, some of them are technology based, and one that seems to be like more feral than others.
Each species kind of represents an aspect of humanity or a concept. For instance, there's the warrior race led by Thraxis. There's the acolytes of DeVoe are more sort of like a cult, a religious cult society. There's Salah, who's kind of like a space ant, as it were. There's a clone species. There's a technological base species. There's a Paragon, who's kind of a secret what they are, but they're important as well. And then obviously there's humans. And each species usually represents an aspect of human society. A more wise, peaceful version, the warrior, more vicious part of us. There's the hive, like collectivist societies, things of that nature. And they're all have a kind of a personality to themselves, which causes them to come in conflict with all the others. And the question is, how do these parts react? And how do they work towards their survival? What aspects of humanity or life can survive the best, and why, kind of thing.
So where did you get the idea for this story?
Believe it or not, I don't know. basically what happened was I had an idea for the ending of the comic book. I knew how I wanted to end it, and I thought when I came up with the ending, it was very interesting. I thought it was something I had not seen before. And then I started working backwards and figure out how do I get there. And then that's where the story started coming together, is working basically was deconstructing or working backwards from the ending and trying to figure out how would the species get there and who would get there. And that's kind of how it came to mind. Yeah, the ending is, I think, something I've never seen before in comic books. It's really kind of a cool, kind of a very heady type ending. I'm not exactly sure all the characters who will survive, though I do know a few of them that will. Definitely, I'm leaving some of it open for the sword to tell me who's going to survive at the end. So I don't want to give it some wiggle room. But basically, there's about 100,000 species on the ship. I mean, not species, sorry. 100,000 individuals on the ship. About 12 to 20 will survive towards the end. And everyone else dies.
Okay. All right.
So it's going to have a hell of a kill count.
How many issues is it going to be?
It's going to be around 15 to 20, ideally.
And so talk to us a little bit about the process of this, because for those that might not be aware of, is that Jeff is a very avid Kickstarter supporter. He actually does a lot of work for promoting other Kickstarter creators and other comic creators and other folks as well. So you've been pretty intimately involved in many projects. So yes. What are some of the things that you would give advice to other Kickstarters, people that are thinking about doing a Kickstarter, that say, listen, these are some of the things that I noticed that have been very successful in the past. What are some of those tips that you would give them?
First, don't do it. No, just kidding. there's a lot of things to keep in mind. One, always be promoting. You need, even between Kickstarters, you need to be promoting. That's if you got the time, be on as many podcasts as soon as possible. Ideally, you want to be in between 20 and 25. Make sure you properly budgeted yourself. One of the things you're going to learn is that everything is way more expensive than you think it is. So when you budget how much your comic books are going to cost, or how much your add-ons are going to cost, everything else, keep in mind that you actually got to go through with it and pay off all the stuff you said you're going to do for people. So you may want to increase the cost of things and the cost of what your bottom line is. So keep in mind on that, keep it reasonable, try to do something that, you can define easily. Like I like to say mine is a combination of Star Trek and Aliens. Make sure it's something you can kind of just be like, it's this. The more complicated the idea, the less likely people are about to buy into it. Unfortunately, simple rules for reasons. If you can keep it away from, young adult and kid comic books, they don't do well on Kickstarter. Keep it to adult comic books as much as possible. They do better. And try to build your network as soon as possible. And then cross your fingers, because at the end of the day, chaos reigns in the world of Kickstarter. And it's hard to always know what's going to be a hit. So, you know, and don't get too frustrated. If it fails, it fails. And if it is, figure out how to pivot.
Well, hey there. If you're enjoying our podcast, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support means the world to us and helps us keep this show going. We love hearing from you, so any feedback is welcome. And thank you for being a part of our podcast family and for all your support. It truly means a lot to us. What else do you see other crowdfunding platforms that have been successful as well?
None of them. There's Zoop. Zoop sucks. Doesn't have not enough to build an audience to do anything. Indiegogo is kind of rough right now, and also tends to have a certain clientele of comic book people that you might not want to get involved in too much right now. There's a bunch of others, but none of them have the push that Kickstarter does. It has the built-in audience already. It's most user-friendly. I started understanding BackerKit a little bit more too, which seems to be a good help to Kickstarters as well. So try to work into that. But there really isn't a substitute now for Kickstarter that is as good as Kickstarter. So if you're going to do anything, you might as well stick with Kickstarter. The others just don't have the legs right now. I mean, Zoop has some good ideas to it. But at the moment, there just aren't enough people who have accounts of Zoop. And anything, any excuse someone has to not back you, they're going to not back you. And if the excuse is, I don't have an account yet, the odds are they're not so enamored with your book that they're going to suddenly create an account, put on their credit card, and go through all the steps just to get your one book. So right. Any excuse they have to not back you, they're not going to back you.
And then plus, if you're calling something, you're comparing it to something else, then you might as well stick with the something else. It's like people like, it's kind of like Kickstarter.
Right.
And just stick with Kickstarter. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much at this point.
Yeah. And so talk to us a little bit about then your, some of your tiers that you have set up as well.
All right. Basically, I try to keep everything at a good price that's easily affordable. So, for instance, for $2, you get the first, second issue digital. For $4, you get first and second issue digital. That's the catch-up tiers at $2 and $4. You can buy the first issues at the second issue at $9 with, I think it's $5 shipping. You can get the first and second comic book, I think, for like $13 or $14. So I keep everything.
That's an awesome deal, right?
I make sure everything is as cheap as possible because I want to make sure it's affordable to everybody. You can get all six covers for $32, which averages less than $6 a cover, which is virtually a standard price of a comic book in the big two, right? Or Image. So these are extremely low prices. So I think everyone can afford them. The Indie Digital Bundle is 25 PDFs for $15, which is less than a dollar. Wow. It's like 70 cents per comic. So I don't know why anyone wouldn't do that. That seems to be an easy one to back. There's a mug for like $30 and the t-shirt for like $75, but seven samplers, Haas sampler for seven comic books for $18. Once again, you're talking virtually $2 and change per comic book.
Right.
I keep everything as cheap as humanly possible. Because the whole thing is, as someone who's cash strapped and wants to buy comic books, it's hard out there. And I don't want to be one of those people who are charging you $20 for a 24-page comic book, right? That doesn't make sense. It's not affordable. So I keep it in a price range where I think people can afford it with the hope that they then support it. That's kind of where my stand is on all of this.
Wow, that's such an amazing deal. So I'm looking at this like here, like the Haas physical sampler. So that's seven comics?
There's seven physical comics for $18. Two will be issues one and two of Terminus, and then there'll be other ones that are written by me. That you'll get one of those, example of those five. There's more than five there, but you'll get some sort of semblance of those five.
They don't get to pick. You just kind of grab.
Yeah, it'll be a sample of some of the comics that I have that I've written over time. Chances are you'll get the Reigning Devil one and two because I'm working on the third one, so it's, just to advertise it. And then a few of the others will may or may not make it through, depending. But you'll get a sample of five other comic books, with two being Terminus one and two.
That is an amazing deal that you have going on here, especially with that indie community digital bundles.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've gone out of my way to make this as, backer positive as possible. Basically, there's no reason anyone can't afford all the issues, pretty much.
Right. So what made you think of, I love the mugs. What made you think to decide doing mugs?
The artist, Brad Shipp, works for a company that makes mugs. So cool. He actually it'll be homemade mugs made by Brad. No, he works for a company that makes mugs. I can't remember what he does with it. He might be part of the design process of it, but it's an easy thing to have done. So I put that on for mugs. I actually have a couple from the first one, and they are perfectly functional mugs.
Talk to us about this here, the producer level. This is something would be a great option for those that are supporters of the indie comic scene. And also
so you'll get the t-shirt, you'll get the mug, you get all the physical copies of issues one and two, PDFs, the digital bundle, basically an original sketch from the artist Brad Shipp. They're all gonna be autographed. You get a producer credit on the comic book on the side front cover. You'll get credit for it, the magnet as well. So basically it's just a way to get every single thing plus a thumbs up from me, as you become my new best friend. My new best friend when you do it. So I should call it my best friend tier.
So what's going to be next now for the storyline then? Because you mentioned it's going to be between 15 to 20. What are some of the things that you can't wait for the readers to dive into?
The second issue ends with a major character death. In the second issue, when the major character is already introduced, dies, or is murdered.
Oh, wow.
When the issues. So the third issue starts the backstory of how we got here a little bit. So it kind of meshes the present with the past. So you kind of figure out who all the characters were before they got to the ship. And that kind of allows us to deep dive into the society a little bit, a little more deep diving into how they interact with each other. At the same time, we're solving a murder. I'm trying to figure out who killed the character. Right. And so I'm kind of excited about that. I think it's kind of fun to see how these characters all interact. It leads into what's going to be the the rest of the story and all the horrible things that will happen to the characters after this point. Because a lot of what happens in issues one and two will cause ripple effects for the rest of the series. And if this is, you know, after 3, 4, and 5, we're kind of do a little bit of the backstory. From 6 on is basically chaos and death from that point forward.
So what do you, Jeff Haas, as the writer of The End of All Terminus, what do you think is on the other side of the universe then?
You know, part of, I know some science is that it's, the universe is infinite, but at the same time, what if it's not? And there's possibilities that we could live within a massive multiverse of universes that all exist somewhere within, you know, realm of each other. And it's quite possible that, in my opinion, that without after this universe is access to all the other universes that are out there, a major network of universes. And once again, I'm not a scientist. Obviously, I'm not an astrophysicist because I'm too stupid. But it doesn't mean I'm wrong. Just because I'm dumb does not mean I'm wrong. but yeah, I mean, it's possible. Like I said, a lot of astrophysicists will say the universe is infinite and over and ever expanding. Though there has been some thought that we are live on a the cusp of a multiverse, and beyond us are multiple multiverses that are always expanding and stuff of that nature.
And because you've kind of limited yourself now to these species, like there are there going to be introduction of other species then, or this is it? Because it's...
You get introduced to a species that appears on in the first at the end of the first issue, that are semi-sentient, but there's a reason why they're there. And the reason why we visit that planet that affects everything that comes out later. But after this issue, this is it. There's no more species. It's just these 7. And trust me, that's going to be enough to tell the story. Because anyone else I introduce, we're looking at 25 to 30 issues. I don't want to go that far. So we're going to keep it to these 7, and we're going to see how these interact. But these 7 will have enough variance in character and plot that it will ride the whole series. And there's so much story left about these characters that I'm looking forward to sharing with everybody.
Okay.
And like, if I can get to I think $2,000, I can do the Thrax's backup story, and trust me, that's a cool story. And so I want to tell that story as well. It's only 8 pages long, so someone get me to $2,000. Like I said, there's always my best friend here, and you can definitely do that.
And it's worth being best friends with Jeff.
So I'll even call you bro.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts, Jeff?
Final thoughts. I mean, primarily, like I said, back the comic book, back something that's a little different that's out there. There's a lot, I think, of generic comic books that are out there right now. This story, I think, is a little bit different. It kind of gives it's a different type of story. It's beyond the superhero tiers, which I think are often played out a little bit. It's intelligent, very thought provoking in the storytelling. I would just, like I said, give it a listen, give it a, read. Even at the, if you doubt it, back $4. That gets you first issues 1 and 2 on a PDF. You read it. If you love it, you can buy the physical ones next. There'll be a third issue and a backup tier for those as well. But at $4, you get 2 comic books you can enjoy, and you can hopefully buy into a cool comic.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much.
But it's, Rhode Island is like, cause you got Providence, and then you're smack dab in the middle, cause you're right next. You're not that far from Hartford. You're not that far from Boston at all.
To Rhode Islanders, we are. like me and my wife are going to go to the Pez headquarters probably Sunday for the first time. I love Pez, and it's an hour and a half away. So me and my wife are tempted to get a hotel room. Because for the long ride.
You're nuts. It takes me an hour and a half to drive to work every day.
Yeah, see, we live in Rhode Island, an hour and 40 minutes is like, maybe we should get a hotel. Maybe we should sleep on the way back. It's quite a way.
You guys are so spoiled. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.